What's wrong with you?
Bro, the shit just coughed in my face.
No, I didn't. I coughed in my shoulder.
That way. Didn't you do the same thing to me? You said, wallahi, my munkin. My munkin. You said that.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, we're keeping that in.
All right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right. Listen. Anyways, let me give you some backstory what this dude just did. This dude just coughed in my direction. He coughed to the right when he had the opportunity to cough that way, to the left. And then he gets mad whenever I cover my nose because I ain't trying to get sick. Because, you know, if you guys can tell, you can hear my voice right now, I get sick because people like him, they can't clean up after themselves. They can't cough in the opposite direction. Always got to be in the direction of other people. Then they wonder why airborne sicknesses get spread around so quickly. It's so funny, bro. Ain't no funny about it.
Listen.
Well, like, actually, look, speaking about that, look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, like, no calamity or, like, sickness, like, befalls a believer except that Allah, like, expiates some of his sins. So, like, just think about that. Next time you get, or, like, even if it was, like, a prick of a thorn, right? So, like, next time that you're sick or you ever get hurt, just know that Allah is expiating some of your sins for that. You know, instead of a four-letter word coming out of your mouth next time you hurt yourself, you know, just say, alhamdulillah. I know, like, it might, you know, it kind of sounds weird to say, but, you know, it is what we should do.
You know, I'll tell you, hold up, before we even get into this podcast, look, let me get a little personal. Okay, so, like, last week, I was sick. I wasn't, like, crazy sick, you know, had, like, a slight fever.
So, you're the reason why I'm sick?
No, definitely not for you. He was the reason I was sick. But anyway.
So I was always going back to this dude.
So, I was sitting here saying, alhamdulillah, you know, like, I was feeling bad trying to go to the gym and stuff, but... You know, then you remember, okay, you know, I'm getting rewarded. I'm getting my sins expiated. But then there's just those moments, man. You're like, dang, bro. I took life for granted, bro. I was healthy a couple days ago. No. Matter of fact, you know, when you get sick, it starts like towards like the end of a day. And then you sleep the night and then you wake up, you're even more sick. That's how it happens.
No. How I know I'm sick, it's either the night before or the day that I wake up and I got that taste in my mouth. And I'm just like, oh, no, I know I'm about to get sick. Or like you start sneezing and then like you don't stop. That's how I know I'm about to get sick, too.
No, that's me. Me is like the end of the day. I'll start like my throat will start getting dry.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I'll start feeling like my nose start to go right before I go to sleep, and then I'll wake up and I'm like, damn, bro, I'm gonna get sick tomorrow.
Look, speaking about like taking it for advantage, I heard a thing. It was actually said by the Sunnah guy. It was good health is like a crown that only the sick can see. Like, just think about the blessing of that. Like, you never really know what you have until it's gone, and that includes your health. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, a few months back, I got really, 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 really sick. And, like to the point, like, where it's never been like that in my life. Like, well, I thought I was cooked. Like, I thought it was over with for me. But what is it called? It was crazy to think about how the day before, everything was so fine. You know, I was going to the gym. I felt like, you know, the strongest I could have ever been. And then the next day, it was just like, you just lost it all.
You have three minutes of continuous ramble just because I coughed. No, it's okay.
This is a lesson. This is a lesson, though.
I want to get into the nit and grit of this podcast episode. We were talking about change. The idea, the discussion that we're going to have stems from the idea that, have you ever had those moments where you think back to yourself and think back to your previous actions, maybe 2-3 years ago, or even like it could be a couple months ago, and you'd be like, wow, I was so stupid. I was so ignorant. I was so arrogant.
Notice how you just changed the topic.
I mean, I kept talking about it because that literally goes into the topic. Like, I get sick. And, you know, I'll try to be grateful, but then, you know, I'll go back to those moments where, you know, I took life for granted. I took health for granted. But, you know, it's those moments that you try to remember. And it actually brings me back to when I was a kid. You know, the worst I've ever been sick, or at least the worst I can remember, I was in fourth grade. I remember this. And the reason I got sick, this is wallahi, it's a lesson from Allah. Allah actually, like, put me through a test because I challenged him. My mom was like, you know, we were talking about, you know, being healthy and not trying to leave school because on some like BS, because she always used to think that if I called her to come pick me up that I was BSing, because I'd go watch TV or I'd play the game or something like that. But
and you probably were.
And then she was like, one day she asked me, she's like, what, you want to get sick? I was like, yeah, bro, I'm trying to miss school, bro. Like, not even like 2-3 days later, I called my mom, I'm sick at school, sickest I ever been, bro. I went home, slept 8 hours that day, slept the whole night too, and that's how I knew I was so sick. I had a fever, I was coughing. I thought I should go to the hospital, but my mom didn't want to send me to the hospital. And then that's when I realized, I was like, bro, don't ever say you want something when you don't really want it, bro. I didn't know at the time because I'm a kid. I didn't know that being sick, obviously, you got rewarded for it. But, bro, when I was then I was like, yeah, no, I'm never going to challenge Allah ever again. I told Allah I wanted to be sick. He put me through something that hurt really bad. And that's a lesson I still carry today, is to never, like, you know, think that you can carry a burden without the help of Allah. Because I thought I couldn't bear it. Like, bear it. Obviously, I could. But I thought that was too much for me at the time. And that was, like, a lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me through. And I still think about it to this day, just because I never want to take certain things for granted. Like, I took my health for granted just because I didn't want to go to school. SubhanAllah, right? And when I think even further about, you know, ways that I've changed, I think about how I used to be someone who thought chasing parts of the dunya would suffice me. And that's actually something that my brother Asim today in the khutbah, he talked about. He was talking about how, you know, we try to chase certain parts of this dunya. Like, you know, if we have something to live for, we have something to die for. A lot of people, that's their desires. That's their money. That's their family. That's their material possessions. But he also brought up the Prophet ﷺ when, you know, he was talking to people in Mecca. You know, they tried to offer him dominion. They tried to offer him, like, wealth or kingdom status, whatever it could, so he could stop preaching the message of Islam, because he kept pushing the message of Islam and people kept taking it. So these people didn't like it.
But what did he say?
Remember when he said, if you give me
the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I'll never stop.
He still wouldn't stop. Like, he would either keep going, trying to push his religion, or he'd die trying. Mm-hmm. And that's what real faith is about.
Yeah, exactly. You ever heard people, they're like, get rich or die trying?
Yeah.
Like, no, bro. Like, be the best Muslim or die trying to be the best Muslim. Like, that's just the way it is. And, like, that success will follow you. Because that money, you're not going to take it to the grave. Like, realistically, like what we were talking about the other day, once you die, like, you know, it's over with. Like, 30 minutes after we bury you, like, we're talking about, like, what are we doing next? Where are we about to get food? Like, you know, you came into this world with nothing. You're going to leave this world with nothing. So if you're going to have a purpose to chase something, you might as well chase something that's going to benefit you, you know, here in this life and in the hereafter. Because I want you to imagine, like, you chase money all of your life to the point where you did anything to go ahead and attain that money by sinning, by all that haram money. And then that haram money, like, it is your doomsday in the grave and in the afterlife. Because, you know, you let it control you. You let this money, like, You worship this money so much to the point where, you know, you would do whatever for it. And, like, wallah, it's sad to see.
And not only that, you don't realize how much you degrade yourself when you go ahead and you'll sell anything. You'll exchange your soul for a small little gain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that in the Quran. Those who, they sell their religion, their way of life, or they'll sell the deen for a small worldly gain that doesn't avail them anyway.
And I want you guys to think about what that means, bro. Like, if you look at some of these celebrities and the way that they degrade themselves, whether they're, like, wearing provocative clothes, they act in a provocative way, they do things that, like, if they weren't making lots of money, they would definitely never do. They would never be seen doing, because of, you know, the backlash that they'd receive. But because, you know, they're making millions of dollars doing these certain types of things, they don't mind doing it. Like, I'll give you an example. Lil Nas X, you know, some random rapper, but he made a music video where he was, like, cosplaying as the devil. No right person in their mind would be caught doing something like that if they weren't making millions of dollars off of it. That's selling your soul for wealth.
Small gain.
Yeah, small gain. And it brings a principle that, you know, Osman brought up, and it's something I think about often, which is heedlessness. You know, you do certain actions while you think they're not that bad. But in reality,
you know what the crazy part is? Not only are the people laughing at him, but Shaitan is laughing at him. And Shaitan is the one who got him to do such a thing. Can you imagine the Shaitan laughing at you, like, the disrespect? Man, like, what the heck?
And that's another thing. I remember when I was younger, I used to think that, like, my perspective has changed so much as I grow older on who I respect, who I look at, and I, like, whenever I see people, like, the way they act and whatnot, like, actions, this is truly, like, listen to what I'm saying, actions truly speak louder than words. Islam, we have these words, we have these affirmations, we have subhanAllah, Allahu Akbar, but what are you doing to act upon that? If you're not acting it, if you're not doing it, if you're not being it, then what do your words mean? Your words mean nothing. You have, like, you're just a liar to yourself and to those around you.
Bro, look, I want to actually, like, bring up a story of, like, earlier this week. So I was talking with somebody that I know, and I was with one of my other friends, and we're sitting there, we're talking about, you know, someone changing, right? Because this person, like, he was bringing up somebody else, talking about some, look where he's at today, look where I'm at today, and, you know, people can't change. I don't care what he's done. I don't care if he's done such and such. You know, at the end of the day, he's where he's at and I'm where I'm at for a reason. I'm like, okay, like, that's definitely true in a way, but you have to understand, like, you were fortunate enough to be put into a position where you didn't have to go through the same exact things as him. And even though things may look like you have the better way right now, you probably don't. Like, for example, you know, you could be someone, you have a multi-million dollar home, multi-million dollar car collection. You know, you have pretty much everything that the dunya has to offer, all the woman, whatever. And then you have someone who, let's say, who is sitting in jail, right? But yet all they have is Allah. All they have is the Quran. Who really has the better position here? Like, one person looks like they have everything, but yeah, they have nothing. Because when you're missing that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, you really don't have anything. None of those things are going to fulfill you to the point. You're just going to be chasing something that'll never end. Like, you ever see that one video? It's like, it's a dude and there's like a money strap to his head and it's right in front of him. He's just chasing it all the way till he falls into the grave. Like, that's exactly what you do with the dunya.
And you know, bro, you know, there's a surah in the Quran, Surah Takathur, Al-Hakum al-Takathur. I've been listening to that all week. Yeah. It's crazy you mentioned that, because that usually when I see that video, that surah is playing in the background. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, like, what, you know what that surah means? You know, the last ayah in that surah, it's one of the scariest ayahs. It says, on that day, we're going to ask you about the blessings. Mm-hmm. We're going to ask you about your blessings. Blessings that you like, and Allah says it also, like, in the Quran, to, like, substantiate, you, if you were to try and count Allah's blessings, you wouldn't be able to. You wouldn't be able to enumerate them. There's so many. There's so. I mean, think about it. How many of you throughout, this is something I've also been reflecting on. How many of, like, in my life, in my years of life, how many times have I sat down for, in my sole purpose of sitting down and my thoughts was to try and thank Allah for what He's given me and the blessing that I have. Every day it's all about the negative. Every day it's all about what's went wrong. Every day it's about the,
it's about what you don't have.
Exactly. It's about a pessimistic lifestyle. Like,
subhanAllah. Like, this reminds me. Look, not to cut you off, but this reminds me. This is something I think about often too. I'd be thinking about, like, damn, bro, I should be doing more in my life. I should be doing more of this. But then I'm like, bro, alhamdulillah, I get to pray. Mm-hmm. No, I woke up for Fajr today. No, I prayed Dhuhr on time. I prayed Asr. I prayed Maghrib. I prayed Isha. I said my Athkar after every prayer. Like, what more could you want if you have something like that? Of course, you know, you want to be more productive in your life. You want to have a better mindset. You want to get closer to Allah. But it's important to also think about what you do have. I still have my connection to Allah. There's some people who feel like they're not getting anything done in their day and they don't have no Allah. They have nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so it's really important to just be able to like be grateful for those things that you can't even see, those non-tangible blessings that you have.
And you know, when I have those days, when I feel so unproductive, I feel like I can't do anything, I feel like I'm deprived of work, there's no better feeling than being able to pray and try my best to focus and pray and try to have the best prayers on this day so that I can feel, still, I feel like I got better today. Still, I feel like,
you still had that small inch of progress, that small inch of success.
And the way I look at every prayer now, it's really insane. See, this is what I'm talking about change. Like before, when I was 15, 16 years old, I used to pray 5 times a day. Alhamdulillah, I used to try my best, my absolute very best. But it's like now I feel like I have a way different perspective and I'm grateful for the new perspective that I have. Every time that I pray, it feels like, think about it as a progress bar. It feels like I got progression, progression, progression. Like, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. I think about that all the time, guiding me to the straight path. Because people, you'll never hear someone realize how wrong they are. Even you could be even some of the scholars, they admit to that they're wrong. That's how you know, like, that's how I can tell an intelligent person. They understand that more times out of, like, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be wrong. You think you know everything? You don't. I swear. You think you know. Look, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, we have not given mankind of knowledge except only a little. You think you know everything? And it's so much more deeper than just like, you know, knowing about, like, you know, mathematics and the sciences and things like that. It's about, like, decision making. Imagine if you could make every single right decision in your life. Every single decision that you made was right. Your life would be perfect. But do any of us live perfect lives? No.
I think that's so facts. And like what you brought up about the scholars, I'm pretty sure, like, you know, scholars of the Ummah, they've said it before, like Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Malik, rahimahullah, all of them, like, may Allah have mercy upon all of them. They all said, like, look, if I've ever said something wrong, ignore me. You know, they're scholars that people highly regard because, you know, they studied Islam for their entire lives amongst people who, you know, either knew people who were close to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam or knew the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam directly, right? Mm-hmm. They even said, look, if I say something wrong, ignore me. No, they know there's right they're going to say, but they know there's also wrong that they're going to say. And, you know, people have to realize that. People have to understand that, you know, decision-making will take you far enough up until you stop looking to Allah for, you know, guidance upon those decisions.
Exactly. And it was that thought process that made me value the Quran so much. because when you hear every day when we go to Jumu'ah, when you go, when you hear like in halaqas and stuff like that, inna astaqal hadith kitab Allah azza wa jalla, the most truthful of speech is the, Allah's book. And think like that's because this is the most pure form, the most truest form of knowledge. Anything that happened that's happens and said in this book, it's gonna happen or it has happened or like it's gonna come to fruition. La uqsimu biyawm al-qiyamah, like when Allah swears by the day of judgment or by the day of standing, you know this is gonna happen. You know this is gonna happen. Like it put it in perspective. Whenever I'm feeling like sometimes I'll be honest. Sometimes I'll be like, I really don't know what to do. Allahu, I don't, and it could be for the most simplest thing. I don't know what to do. And sometimes you gotta recognize that. You gotta recognize that sometimes you can be potatoing that you don't know everything. And that's one of the first steps that you need to take to like really make change within yourself. And I'll go and I'll just read the Quran. I'll read whatever. I'll read, like, bro, the other day I was listening. I think it's from Surah Sa'd, and it was a story about Dawood alayhi salam. And it like the words had nothing to do with my like with my situation, but like it just felt like it was giving me wisdom. Like it was talking about Dawood alayhi salam, and like we forgave him for what he did, and to him is nearness to us in like a good abode. And we bestowed upon him like Khalifa on the earth, like dominion on the earth. I'm just thinking, I'm like, look at how Allah treats his servants. And I'm just like, it feels better, you know?
You know what that reminds me of? I saw a question someone asked. They said, does it matter which order that we read the Quran from? And the answer was, it doesn't matter because any part of the Quran is guidance. And so that right there is just like, it's crazy to think about. Like you can really open up any page, read the whole page, understand it, and you're going to be better than 5 minutes before you didn't read the page.
Look, that reminds me when I'm telling you, like, I used to possibly chase the dunya. It's because I used to make decisions without consulting Allah. Like, Allah knows what's in your heart, and Allah knows what decisions are you're going to make and which ones are better for you and which ones He's planned for you and which ones He didn't plan for you. Because ultimately, you know, the people Allah guides are those who trust in His plan and the ones who follow His plan. And how you follow His plan is by looking to Him. You know, and nowadays when I think about it, I go to Allah and I say, Allah, I have a feeling in my heart that this is the right decision, but I'm not 100% sure because I'm not knowing. I don't know. Allah knows, right? Allah is al-Alim al-Hakim. He's the only one who's deserving of that title. So when He's the most wise and when He's the most knowing, it's you who should look to Him, not the other way around. He's not going to look to you. He doesn't need nothing from you. Mm-hmm. But you ask Him, He's going to respond to you.
And you know what's interesting about the relationship between like humans and Allah? I always feel bad whenever I see a non-Muslim crying. Because I know that their tears, whenever they have their tears in their eyes, there's no thought of Allah. Every time I have tears in my eyes, it doesn't matter about what the situation is. It might be about death. It might be about losing someone. It might be about missing someone. There's always the idea of Allah in my head. I can't get to that point of tears except that Allah goes through my head. And I just think it's so I feel so bad. Like you cry for other than Allah, and like we, you know, Muslims, we cry for Allah. Like that's the only thing, like our creator. When you really think, put it into perspective, the Quran, our lives, how much Allah has blessed us with. Allah did not need to send us the Quran. And if you think about it, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the last messenger sent to mankind, the seal of the prophets. The Quran was sufficient enough for us until the day of judgment. Whatever is in that book is sufficient enough for us to change ourselves, to better ourselves, to get better. In any, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. I don't even need to specify a way. It's just, I just know you're gonna get better.
And it's important that you stand clear above falsehood, because there are people who have come, and there are people who will come, and there are people who are among us now who try to take the words of the Quran and try to, you know, put
add their own twist to it.
They try to put in a false meaning, saying, "Oh, this is what Allah says in the Quran, and this is what it means." When in reality, that's not exactly what it means. And, you know, inadvertently, these are the types of people we talk about who may be heedless. And we could be subject to this, too. We're not safe from this, which is why when you fear something like that, that's what makes you not heedless. Because same thing, if you fear hypocrisy, you won't become a hypocrite, because you'll ask Allah for protection from that. You ask Allah from being protected from heedlessness, from being one who doesn't understand the knowledge that he's gained and trying to put it out into the society in a way that's false. Mm-hmm. Because that will ultimately lead you to the hellfire while you think you're doing good. And that's the false type of change that you want. You don't want to be that type of person.
Yeah, because look, when you add your own addition, or when you're sitting there thinking like, oh, I wish the Quran said this, or I wish the Quran didn't say this, or I wish the Prophet said this, or I wish he didn't say this. But like, what are you doing? You're not submitting to Allah. Like, you're doing the complete opposite. A Muslim is someone who submits to Allah. Me as a Muslim, I'll read the Quran. I'll see everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And I'll be like, this is halal for me. This is haram for me. All right. Like, I don't care how much this goes against my desires. Like, when I'm wrong, I know that I'm wrong. Like, for example, I don't care. Like, look, I don't care what type of sin that you're doing. As long as if you just know that it's wrong and you can acknowledge it, you're still better than the person who tries to justify what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Because nothing is worse than that person who will do something wrong and try to justify it and try to bring up a reason why they're always right. Mm-hmm. Because like, look, then you're just getting into arrogance, and then that's true heedlessness right there. Like, you have no idea of what, I don't know if you have any idea of what you're doing is wrong.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's just like Fir'aun. Fir'aun saw all the signs, and he came up with an excuse for every single one. He said, Musa, you're a magician. Musa alayhi salam's this. Musa alayhi, oh, he just wants to cause corruption. Oh, he just wants to, up until he saw the sea split, he's still chasing him until his final moment. He tried to justify every single thing. He thought, like, that was, like, when you have that, keep it in your heart. Like, imagine, like, what you said was so true. When I read the Quran and I see something, I'm like, oh, like, by Allah, I seek refuge. And, like, I want to love every single thing that's in the Quran.
Yeah, because, like, you ever try...
You feel that, like, you just know that that's corruption.
You ever try to talk to somebody who's, like, arrogant, like, genuinely arrogant? You try to have a genuine, real conversation with them, and it's just, like, nothing that you're saying gets through to them. Everything that you're saying is wrong to them. They always have to be right, no matter what. And like, what I always tell these people is like, bro, at the end of the day, you're going to take what I'm saying, right? You're going to take what I'm saying because I'm not speaking from my desires. I'm speaking from like from the Islamic perspective because that's the best perspective to take, right? So if I'm going from that and you still go against that, you will be humbled. You will be humbled one way or another. You're going to listen to what I'm saying right now, or you're going to find out for yourself. Simple as that. It's only going to be a matter of time.
F around to find out.
Nah, but that's a reality.
No, here, I'll tell you something. We're not even safe of this because I like.
Of course we're not.
Us talking about this right now reminds me of sometimes, you know, I've gone to Osman and we've talked about something Islamic, and you know, I'll just tell him like, oh, this is the perspective I got from this ayah. He's like, that's not what it's talking about. I'm like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, bro, go read the tafsir. I'll go read the tafsir. And I'm like, oh, dang, that's not what it was talking about. But like, you know, me getting that excitement from thinking that, you know, I understood something, it helped me go learn more. Instead of me saying, oh, this is what it means, I'm going to go tell people about it. Like he had to correct me on something. And we've even had more conversations where I was just like, look, you, like, let's say someone does a sin and they tell people not to do that sin. I was like, look, you're going to get asked. If you try to enjoin good upon a sin, like to forbid evil upon a sin that you commit yourself, you're going to be asked, why did you enjoin good while you didn't enjoin in, like you didn't join in that good too? You mm-hmm. could, like, people can still call to that. And I remember we argued about it because he was like, oh no, you can still say that. But then I showed him there was like hadith that talked about it. And then he was like, oh, okay, no, I understand now.
You guys want to know something interesting in the Quran? It probably flew over your heads, but this is why it's important to read that Quran and like to every single letter. Like I'm talking about to every single letter. There's a verse in the Quran and it says, indeed, the reminder benefits the believers. Reminder benefits the believers. If you're reminding someone and you see no benefit within them, or if you get reminded and you see no benefit from yourself or from within it, where's your belief? The reminder benefits the believers. That's why, and it's not, and it's just like you used to say this all the time, an insa and yunsa, we forget, and that's what we need. We need a reminder. That's, you know, like subhanAllah, you think you remember everything? Okay. Like, you don't.
Even Hafiz of the Quran, he's not safe. He has to go back and he has to continuously review. Like, we ask Yusuf all the time. He's always reviewing. Mm-hmm. Even when he has a Quran competition, he'll constantly review whatever he's about to read because, you know, you're not safe. Once you memorize the Quran, it's not like you're just going to be like that for the rest mm-hmm. of your life. You never have to review again. Like, no, you have
and
to
Allahumma keep going back and like, review. His level of memorization is also crazy because he'll be the type of person to tell you what verse it is, what page it's on, what part of the page, and like, et cetera, right? So, like, meaning, like, he can really, really visualize it. But guess what? He still takes the time out to review because he knows that he's not 100% safe. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, we always have to constantly run back to Allah. Because if we're not running back to Allah, then, you know, we're going to run away from Allah.
Because Shaitan's path, he's right behind you. Like, you're running to Allah, right? And Allah's going to come even further to you than you can come to him. But Shaitan's right behind you. He's trying to pull you back, which is why it is harder to run to Allah than it is to run away. It's easier to run away from Allah. Shaitan's going to make it a lot easier because Allah gave, like... dominion to Shaitan to be able to like
look
take people look, away from
I want to talk about I want to talk about that. You know what's interesting in Surah Baqarah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the story of Adam alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels to prostrate to Adam, he said as soon as he told them to prostrate, it responds with fasajadu fa, so that means
immediate action,
right? Yeah. And then when it refers to say Iblis, he refused and he was arrogant towards it. He hated Adam alayhi salam. He hated him. And first thing I want to highlight, one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels to prostrate to Adam, indicating honor to human beings and mankind in general. This is a creation and we have been honored. So gotta think the blessings. Gotta think Allah. We've been given dominion over the earth. We walk around. We're the apex predators. Nothing's hunting us down. You gotta think Allah. Look, and then it's just like you said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even after Iblis did what he did, Iblis made a dua to Allah, asking him to let him stay alive till the day of judgment, so that he can go and misguide and cause mischief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you're granted it. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but you won't be able to do that for those who, ibadak al-mukhlaseen, like, he will misguide everyone except Allah's chosen servants, Allah, the people who have ikhlas, people who have sincerity.
Look, and I want to point out what you just said. You said Allah's chosen servants. Something we point out a lot is that a Muslim who believes in Allah, not a Muslim who just takes the title, because you know there are going to be hypocrites out there. We can't deny that. Mm-hmm. We can't deny someone being a hypocrite. Although that's not the title we give them, there are going to be people who are out there. And the people who are out there that are hypocrites are the ones who don't fear being a hypocrite. But when you do fear these types of things, you can see yourself as someone chosen by Allah. And that is an honor that you would never want to lose for yourself once you realize, dang, Allah chose me over this. Like, you see people who are non-Muslim every single day and you're like, wow, Allah did not guide them. And they may never be guided. Even if Islam reached them, even if Allah himself revealed himself to these people, some of them still won't believe.
Exactly. Look, bro. You've been, like, Allah's chosen servants. You've been blessed with Islam. You've been blessed with to be able to pray. Don't let a fajr go by except that you, don't let, like, the dawn go by except that you pray fajr. Don't let dhuhr go by except that you pray to Allah. Don't let, like, you got to really understand the blessing. That's part of, you know, Surah Takathur. Allah's going to ask about your blessing. You've been given Islam. What did you do? Like, that's part of it. And it's like, don't let that honor, like, you don't let that honor go to waste.
I want to bring up a point that was brought up in the khutbah today. So I want you to imagine you're going on vacation, right? You're staying in a hotel room, right? You're staying a couple days. And let's say you just decide to change up the entire hotel room. You want to replace the floors, replace the closet, replace the TV, replace the entire room, right? What would you think if I told you I was going to do that?
This person's a fool. You're not going to be here for long.
You're not going to be here forever, right? I'm only staying here a couple days, then I'm going back home. So how come when it comes to the dunya, we're trying to sit here, we're trying to make the dunya our home, our abode, we're trying to sit here and stay forever, we're trying to chase whatever it can offer us, not thinking about that we're only traveling here, we're only sitting here for a few days, we're only sitting here for a short amount of time, and we're going to end up returning back home, which is to our Lord. And Allah will put you in a place that's going to be either your home or it's going to be your hellfire. Like,
go on.
But, and like, the thing is, like, about this life, like, we sit here, like, we're expecting the next birth. In reality, like, when we should really be thanking Allah for our next birth, because Allah will take people at 20 years old, 100 years old, 80 years old, 50 years old, 5 seconds old. Like, death does not discriminate. Allah has the power, and he can will whenever, like, he wants someone to die. Like, when it's their time, it's their time. Mm-hmm. Don't sit here and, like, be like, all right, well, I'm deserving of my next breath. I'm going to wake up here and tomorrow and do this and that. Like, you have to live every day like it's going to be your last day. Mm-hmm. Every salah, like, it's going to be your last salah.
100%. And you know what's interesting about that? You know, I love that way of thinking. That analogy that you brought up about a traveler. You're staying in a hotel room. Whenever you're traveling, what do you do in those days of travel? You try and do as much as possible.
Yes.
You're not sleeping. You try to do as much as possible. That's exactly how you should live your life. Live your life like it's your, every single day, like it's your last day. And you got to be willing to go above and beyond and take those risks and trust in Allah and have faith. I feel like you got to really understand, you've lived your entire life, all these years, no matter what you've been through, food has still found its way into your mouth. Sleep has still found its way to you. The blessings of Allah fights to get to you.
Mm-hmm. But exactly. This is so true, because look, I look at things that I have today and I'll be like, wow, like, these are things I use on my day-to-day life. But like, what happened like five, six years ago? I didn't have these things. Like, I was still living just fine. Mm-hmm. So you know what I mean?
And it's just like, we'll be in Sudan, we'll be in places where people will be like, how can you live there? And it's like, food still fine. I get by just fine. Food, alhamdulillah. Like, I'm still, like, I'll probably be more healthy over there than I am over here.
And it's a principle.
Like, the laughter still fine. Like,
it's a principle that you've told, that I've told almost everyone I've come across now, that death will only find you once, but provision will find its way to you every single day. Provision, the wealth, whatever it may be, wealth in terms of love, in terms of food, in terms of clothing, in terms of house, whatever it may be, those blessings from Allah will find their way to you every single day. But death will only find you once. It only takes one time for death to call your name. But you know, these blessings will come to you every single day, whether you're thankful for them or whether you're not. But the people who are thankful for them, they will have more blessings when it comes to the time that Allah has to call them to meet with them for the final time.
Right. You know what's interesting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes people in the Quran, like people in Jannah, farihu, like they're excited and like pleased with what Allah has given them. Imagine you live your life you live your life and it's a blessing. If some people, they, you find pleasure in worshiping Allah. It's not even something that should be like that brings out struggle in your eyes. Like you can't live like this. No, it gives you life. Look, and then in the hereafter, you're getting blessed.
Bro, speaking about like being like grateful and thankful to Allah, like when Allah says like whoever is grateful to me, Allah will like increase them. Like after like hearing that, I remember the first time I ever hearing that, like I would sit there and like genuinely try to thank Allah, not just sit here and be like, Alhamdulillah, or thank you Allah. Like no. Like actually like feel it in your heart. Like feel in your heart that you're actually thankful, that you're really content with what you have. Like, wow, I've actually been given so much. And like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not truly deserving of all this, but yet you know, I'm giving it. And then like, I just see like blessings are going up in my life. Like, subhanAllah, like I'm not saying I got, you know, there wasn't a little bit of a test to get to the next thing, but you know, it definitely found its way to me.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, like I started to love like, you know, the struggle a little bit. You know, I have blessings and I'm just like, man, I don't know if I'm fully deserving of this, but you know, Allah gave it to me anyway. So like, I try to be thankful for that. And like you said, feeling it in your heart more so than just having to vocalize it. Mm-hmm. Because Allah knows what's in your heart better than you do. And it's trying to do both. And also, something I think about often now is how much I think about like, you know, the hereafter. You know, sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I get mentally burnt out. And I'm just sitting here like, dang. You know, I used to think about, oh, man, when I have like, you know, some wealth, alhamdulillah, if I start a business or something and I'm taken care of, you know, I'm going to be all right. But then I was just like, now I start thinking, dang, bro, once I get to like Jannah, bi-idhnillah, inshallah, you know, Allah accepts me into Jannah by his mercy, then I'm sitting here thinking, now I can rest. You know, bro, that's when I'm going to be all right. That's when I'm going to be.
We should do a podcast episode about Jannah, because I could talk about this forever. imagine you in Jannah. I don't think you understand. Here, you have to work for what you want. You have to try and you try your best, get risk. You got the anxiety, stress. You can't sleep. You have all these things. You have to eat. You have to go use the bathroom, number two, number three. In Jannah, you have whatever you wish. You think about it comes.
Yeah.
You have whatever you wish. You have the company. You got the drink.
There is no sickness. There is no death. There is no loss.
There's no tiredness. There is no stress.
Bro, and just thinking about the fact.
Good smells.
Good smells? No, but look. The thing is, like, just thinking about the fact that things will eternally just always get better. Like, that's just impossible to think about. Like, just the fact of thinking about eternity in itself is already impossible to think about. But just thinking about how things can only get better. Because here in this dunya, like, things go up, but it peaks. Mm-hmm. And then it's just decline. Downhill.
Exactly. Like, look, and you know where it says that in the Quran? Surah Asr. Wal Asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr. Like, by Asr, mankind is in loss. Mm-hmm. It goes up and...
Except for what? Except for who?
Those who believe in and do good deeds and enjoying the truth.
Because look, you should, like, if you're a person, like, you make it, like, now, like, you kind of have to be in, like, it's not about just... making it's about maintaining, because from the peak here, the only place to go is down. There is no getting better from here. But when it comes to going back to Allah, when it comes to Jannah, like these things, it just eternally gets better and better and better and better, but like, you can't really imagine that.
Jannah is exponential, which is why you can't imagine something like that. You think about something like that. You guys ever heard that thing where it's like, oh, you look at your wife one time, you look away, you look back, and she's more beautiful.
Yeah, bro.
Let's save it for another podcast.
But hold on. Yeah, like another thing, like on the other hand though, like just think about Jahannam. Think about the punishment and like how that just gets worse and worse and worse and worse forever. Like,
and you know what's interesting about Jahannam is that the person who has the lowest punishment in Jahannam will think, he'll say there's no one who has,
he has the worst punishment.
He'll say like, this is the worst. What did I do to deserve it?
Just last thing. I just want you guys to think about how we can internalize Jannah, but we can't internalize Jahannam. You can't think about how bad.
No, not even Jannah. You can't internalize.
No, but I'm saying like, you can think about how great it's going to be. Oh, I'm going to have whatever I want. But you can't think about how bad Jannah is going to be, because you never want to think about bad. You never want to imagine bad. Mm. Bad in any way, shape, or form. Even on this life, you never want to imagine a loved one being gone. You never want to imagine, this calamity that strikes you or whatever it may be. You never want to imagine that. But Jahannam, that's the reality. And that's why it's so hard for people to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they can't think about Jahannam without feeling fear. And they don't want to feel fear. Who wants to feel fear?
Bro, like, put things into perspective, right? So I have a friend. His brother was a smoker. And he said, look, every time that you go to light that thing, I want you to go ahead and just take that the flame from the lighter, just put it under your hand just a little bit. And if that hurts you, then don't light it. Because if you can't even bear that, just imagine the punishment of Jahannam. And it's just going to keep on getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
SubhanAllah.
Like, just think about that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll talk about it at a different time, inshallah. But, bro, you know, that's going to close out this podcast. I think it was a good talk, bro. Alhamdulillah.
Hope you guys enjoyed this. Share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this. We're still students of knowledge. We're not scholars, so we're open for correction. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.